want to preach, by the grace of God, in your hearing ever so briefly this morning. And for those of you who will be with me every day, we thank God for you. And I have instructed my son, who assists me in putting these messages together, that we be as brief as possible, at the same time to get the message out to you based upon the Word of God. We are still going verse by verse, chapter by chapter, through the book of Matthew. We're only in chapter 6, so you have not missed much if you have not been following along. I'm not trying to preach as a pastor. I am not a pastor. I serve in that role. I do the work of a pastor, but I am an evangelist by calling. And I am preaching evangelistically. My main concern has always been, since December the 19th, 1979, is a clear presentation of the gospel to the saving of the soul. So turn your Bibles with me as we preach in your hearing. By the grace of God, God will take care of you. This is the hymn title that is the favorite hymn of my longtime associate, Samuel L. Madison. And I didn't say Samuel Jackson, I said Samuel L. Madison. He loved this hymn, God Will Take Care of You. I'm sure he is listening in Florence, South Carolina. What pun not intended. But I am sure if he has electricity, he's listening and participating. If not, he'll get it on demand. Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, Day 541. My oldest son, Daniel White IV, is the one who keeps up with these numbers. I have no idea what the numbers are, but I'm just going to follow along with him. Since January the 20th, 2017, Day 908. And so we see here that once we finish this 100-day series, we'll be over 1,000. That's from the first year of preaching back in 2016, since January the 1st, 2016. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, the Bible reads, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment or clothing?" I'm reading from the old King James. "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature?" That's a rhetorical question by Jesus. Nobody. You can't add one inch to your height. So you might as well chill out. "And why take ye thought for raiment or clothing? Why are you always running to TJ Maxx and to Belk's and to Target trying to catch a sale for some clothing? Always running about trying to find clothing. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin." And by the way, nobody spoke like Jesus spoke. Amen, somebody. "And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" Stop worrying. stop fretting about what you're going to eat and what you're going to wear. Some of us need to worry about eating too much. That's our problem in America, having too much stuff. Most of you got clothes that'll last a whole year that you have put in storage that you're not going to wear again, and you won't give it to anybody else. Make sure we don't have any buffering going on. Therefore, take no thought, saying, Jesus said, O ye of little faith. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Jesus said, or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Don't you worry about a thing. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. This is the life of my oldest daughter, Danny, who made a huge sacrifice this past week to help our ministry, and that she could have had for herself. But she is living out her life's verse. She adopted this verse as her life's verse when she was a little girl. And she never wavered. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. Don't you worry about tomorrow. I'm going to share this with you next week, but I got to share a little bit, try to share it with you this week as well. Somebody said many people are living, are crucifying themselves on a cross between two thieves. One is the thief of worrying about the past, and two is the thief worried about the future. My. That's not original with me. I'm not that smart, but I like that quote. Some folks are crucifying themselves between two thieves. One thief is the person, one thief is the one that's worried about the failures of the past, and the other thief is the one that's worried about tomorrow. And I'll do better on quoting that next week. I was going to try to hold back on that powerful quote, because it is, but I couldn't, because it's so true. Many, many people, millions of folk, are living in the present, but they are worried about their failures of the past, problems of the past, and they're worried about the future all at the same time. Take therefore, Jesus said, no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. And don't you worry about tomorrow. It's going to be all right one way or another. Jesus says, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. My. You've already heard the sermon. I don't even need to expound on it. Let's pray. Holy Father, God in heaven, we thank you for being down here with us. And Lord, we don't understand why you want to be with us. We don't understand why you still love us, but we thank you for it. And we thank you for the redemption found in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the gift of your Holy Spirit, your Holy Word, and for all of the millions and manifold blessings you bestowed upon us. And Holy Father God, I thank you for allowing me and my two baby children, they're not babies anymore, but we've been celebrating our birthday together on the 15th of September for many years now. And Lord, we thank you for the great party that we had together on yesterday. the great food, the great cake and ice cream and all of the good stuff that I don't need. And some even left over today, which was absolutely delicious. We give you the glory, praise, and honor for another day of life, another year, allowing us to see it when so many who even on the 14th did not see the 15th. They died on the 14th. And we do pray for those people who are suffering and who need your comfort on the East Coast and on the West Coast and in the Philippines this morning. We pray for the couple that was shocked when the typhoon hit their wedding. And Lord, we pray that you would comfort them and all of the family members. And we pray for the Christians in China and in Nigeria who are being persecuted beyond measure. Comfort them and help them as well. Now, Lord, grant me fresh anointing, unction, and freedom and liberty and the power of your Holy Spirit to say exactly what you want me to say. And, Lord, I do pray that you would save those who are lost, encourage and revive those who are saved. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, God will take care of you. God will take care of you, and if you don't believe that, just look back over your life and see how God has taken care of you. Amen, somebody. Let me say that again. We got too much buffering here. Whatever you need to do to get it on the right number, do what you got to do. God will take care of you. And if you don't believe that, just look back over your life and see how God has taken care of you. If you would do that, you should never worry a day in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, over the past 5 weeks, by the grace of God, we have been in a series titled Serving God is Not About the Money. Serving God is not about the money. Never has been, is not now, and never will be. We explored Jesus' command to store up treasures for ourselves, not on earth, but in heaven, as well as his exhortation that we must choose one master because we cannot serve two masters. We cannot serve God and money or anything else but God at the same time. I hope that you have chosen and are choosing by the grace of God and with the help of God to serve God and God alone and build up your treasure in heaven. I assure you that you will not regret it, because in our passage for today, Jesus tells us the kind of mentality that we must have if God alone is going to be our master. A person who has chosen to serve God will have a lifestyle, yea, a mentality free from debilitating worry and anxiety. Not because one is callous or carefree, que sera, sera, but because the person who chooses to serve God knows that God will take care of him. I fear today that there are many people in the church who live in fear. They don't believe that God will take care of them. Jesus said, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, that ye shall eat, or what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? It is sad but true, ladies and gentlemen, there are many people today who believe that there's something more important than life. All of the accessories, clothing, food, water. In our American society, and particularly in one of the richest states in America, and one of the richest areas of America, what I call the Golden Triangle, the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Ladies and gentlemen, many people worry about not just the basics, but how big my house is going to be. How big is my car? What neighborhood am I going to live in? How big is the golf course behind my house? Oh yes, I live in a community now, or near a community right now, that not too far from me. When they walk out their backyard, bless their hearts, they have a golf course for all of the people who live in that neighborhood. Not only that, they have an airstrip in their backyard. These are some bad individuals, and some of them are quite good in a very real sense. I know some of them, and God has blessed them, and they have been a blessing. One family has been a blessing to my family, but that's the kind of neighborhood they live in. Now, they don't care about that kind of stuff, but there are many people around them who that's what they're concerned about. Can I maintain this big house with this gorgeous golf course in my backyard, and with an airstrip where I could fly my plane, and then a boating dock so I can float my boat? Now, they're concerned about keeping all that going. Regarding this passage, Dr. Warren Wiersbe says something very wise that deals with this very clearly. He said, the person who pursues money thinks that riches will solve his problems, when in reality, riches will create more problems. Material wealth gives a dangerous false sense of security, doesn't it? And that feeling ends oftentimes in tragedy. The birds and lilies do not fret and worry, yet they have God's wealth in ways that man cannot duplicate. All of nature depends on God, and God never fails. Can somebody say amen? Only mortal man depends on money, and money always fails. You don't believe that? In the midst of this booming economy. On the radio yesterday, I heard somebody singing, we're in the money, we're in the money. We're in the money. But on that same radio station, just an hour later, a man was saying, yeah, we might be in the money right now, but I want you to harken back to the year 2008. And there are some signs that we're not going to be in the money after a while. And he began to list the things you need to be looking at. He was talking to people who are investors and people who are getting ready to retire. He said, enjoy yourself while you can, but there are some things happening in the economy that you may not see that will end up with another Lehman Brothers. As you know, it was on my birthday some years ago on September the 15th, when one of the biggest investment banks went under, went bankrupt, and the bottom fell out. It is reported that the treasurer of the United States at that time went to Nancy Pelosi's office and got on his knee and begged her to pass a bill to bail everybody out. Jesus said, ladies and gentlemen, that kind of worry is sinful. We may dignify worry by calling it by some other name, or we know how to dignify it. We call it concern. We call it a burden. Now, listen, somebody said, well, somebody might be interviewing this great financial man, and he says, and the guy says, looks like you're worried, sir. No, I'm not worried. I'm just concerned. My heart is heavy. My heart is burdened about this. Then the interviewer says, that sounds a lot like worry, sir. Some even try to get spiritual and call it across the bow. But the results are still the same. Instead of helping us live longer, anxiety only makes life shorter. The Greek word translated take no thought literally means to be drawn in different directions. Worry pulls us apart, does it not? Don't envy the person driving the Lamborghini, because inside that Lamborghini they might be at the same time being pulled apart with worry and anxiety on making sure that they pay the insurance on that Lamborghini, which could be $10,000 a month, that nobody hits that Lamborghini, that nobody tries to steal it, that there's no carjackings. Until man interferes, everything in nature works together, because all of nature trusts God instinctively. Man, however, is pulled apart with his sinful nature because he tries to live his own life by depending on his material wealth and what he can do. End of quote. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus invites you today to live a life free from worry, a worry-free life, free from the feeling of constantly being pulled in different directions, because you are trying to be in control of everything. Jesus invites you to take no thought for your life, because you know it is in his hands. To take no thought for what you will eat or drink, because you know he will take care of you. To take no thought for your body, because you know he will take care of you. If you would serve God, you can have this lifestyle free from worry and distress, because you know God is in control of everything, and he will, I said God will, take care of you. Amen, somebody. Ladies and gentlemen, Sevilla D. Martin wrote so wonderfully, my associates favored him, God will take care of you, when she said, be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. Through days of toil, when heart doeth fail, God will take care of you. When dangers fierce your path assail, God will take care of you. All you may need, He will provide. God will take care of you. Nothing you ask will be denied. God will take care of you. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word. Thank you for the story of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for all of his words that are contained in the Gospels. And we thank you, Lord, that not only we can hear about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, but Lord, we can hear about his life and everything that he did that will push us more and more to trust him as our Savior. And so, Holy Father God, have your Holy Spirit to continue to work and open up blinded eyes and unstop deaf ears and save those who are lost today. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you're with us today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, in the free pardon of your sins, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation from sin and from the punishment of sin, which is hell. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is a sad place. Hell is a painful, tormenting place, and certainly the saddest part of hell is that it is forever. Hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ, who preached on hell more than anybody in the Bible, Jesus Christ, who preached on hell more than he did about heaven, because he wants us to trust him as Savior so you can go to heaven, he understood, like so many of us understood, people move more by fear than they do by good news and so forth. It's just a part of our sinful nature. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." He was speaking about himself, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, that is, perish in hell, but have everlasting life. Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God on the third day for you and for me, so that we can live eternally with him. And all you have to do is believe on Christ. Believe that he suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again. You don't have to join a church to be saved. You don't have to shake the preacher's hand to be saved. No one has to lay hands on you to be saved. You don't have to get baptized to get saved. You don't have to be in a church to be saved. I got saved in a dorm room. Millions have gotten saved by an ocean or a lake or in the woods, at somebody's house, on a street corner. Hundreds, thousands have been saved on a street corner. All you have to do is believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart, your heart, that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from sin and hell. Saved from a purposeless, meaningless, miserable life. And ultimately saved from a miserable hell. The Bible says in verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'll be glad to lead you in this calling, or lead you in this prayer called the Sinner's Prayer. Michael Lewis led me some 40 years ago. I would count it a privilege to lead you. Just repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Trust in Christ as your Savior. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments, understanding that according to your Holy Bible, if I break one commandment, I deserve hell. I have sinned against you by lying to others. I've broken your Ten Commandments by stealing from others. I've broken your Ten Commandments by dishonoring my parents. I have broken your Ten Commandments by taking your holy name in vain. I have broken your Ten Commandments by lusting after people and things. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, because I've committed many more sins than that. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, the sin bearer for the entire world, the Lamb of God who has taken away the sins of the world, including mine, Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to turn from my evil ways. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, wherever you might be in the world, riding down the road in Nigeria, in South Africa, in France, in England, in Russia, in China, in North Korea or South Korea, Japan, the Philippines, wherever you might be, I trust that you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you have believed in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life. And that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me or one of our other emails at dw3@GospelLightSociety.com. And let us know. There is some great free material that we want to send to you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us today as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you is my prayer.
I don't know why Jesus loved me.